May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Jesus said, "They do all their deeds to be seen by others, for they make their phylacteries broad and their fringes long. They love to have the place of honor at banquets and the best seats in the synagogues, and to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces." Jesus concludes, "The greatest among you will be your servant. All who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all who humble themselves will be exalted." The great motivational writer and speaker, Dr. Stephen Covey, has said that the no's we receive in life point to the greater yeses. The no's we receive in life point to the greater yeses. And I hope that you have found that to be true. However, perhaps the greatest lesson that we receive from those no's, those disappointments in life, is that you and I are called by Jesus to walk humbly before God. That the only way that we can grow spiritually in our faith and in our life in Jesus Christ is to be in a posture of humility before Almighty God. But what about that three-lettered word that came about in the early 1920s and named it, but it existed for all time? That thing we know as ego. The psychoanalyst Sigmund Freud, founder of one of the three major schools of psychotherapeutic thought, defined ego in 1923 as the conscious part of a person's psyche that controls thought and behavior and interprets one's reality. He said ego was, in essence, our self-awareness. And according to Freud, all of us have ego, but many have quite unhealthy ones. And more than 2,000 years ago, centuries and centuries before Freud's definition, Jesus tackles the same human dilemma. As he addresses the crowds and his disciples, the scribes and Pharisees sit on Moses' seat. "Therefore, do whatever they teach you and follow it, but do not do as they do, for they do not practice what they teach." This is a simple teaching of Christ, a simple story to a not-so-simple roadblock to living fully the life that Jesus was living and dying for, the life to which he calls each of us. The scribes and the Pharisees loved to be seen in their fine clothes and robes and live a very privileged life, placing tremendous burdens upon the common person, those who were less fortunate, those who were of a lower socioeconomic status. They loved to be the ones who were served. And Jesus challenges this understanding of our place before God with the profound and powerful words, "The greatest among you will be your servant." the greatest among you will be your servant. And he begins to interpret the Christian life as servanthood, as servant ministry. Jesus is here indicating the humility that we are called to live within and to approach God with. He was saying we must guard against this unhealthy thing that had not yet received Freud's name but existed, ego, that the scribes and the Pharisees display. And rather, in humility, acknowledge our humanity, acknowledge our sinfulness, acknowledge our inadequacies, acknowledge our total dependence upon God. And we can imagine that Jesus really has the audience's attention because he's challenging the powerful. He's challenging the scribes and the Pharisees, and it probably is getting everyone a little bit nervous and antsy, and he hammers them with the punchline, "All who exalt themselves will be humbled, but all who humble themselves will be exalted." 5 centuries after Christ delivered this teaching, St. Augustine said it this way: "Do you wish to rise? Begin by descending. You plan a tower that will pierce the clouds? Lay first the foundation of humility." And Henry Nouwen said it this way: "In the gospel, we see that Jesus chose the descending way." The descending way. So what does that say to us today as we consider this gospel? How are we to live? How are we to hear these words? Do you approach God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit with humility? As one in need of grace, as one in need of forgiveness. Most merciful God, I confess that I have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. Do we approach our families, our loved ones, and this community of faith at St. John's with humility, that we are all equal and equally loved before God? Do you approach the complex issues that face the Christian church, American society, and the world with that kind of humility of Christ, knowing that it is only God alone that has all of the answers? And therefore, there is mystery, there is faith, there is grace. The gospel for this day of October 30th is one where Jesus challenges us to check our ego. What I like to have called over the years as edging God out. Ego edges God out. And find our centeredness in the humble place to which Christ calls, in order that you may grow. In order that we may serve, in order that we may minister fully for the gospel's sake. Amen.